Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast as we break down Game 3 of the Hawks-Predators opening round matchup. Steve Conroy, Jamal Mayers will join me shortly. But first, can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNShy.
This is Blackhawks Post Game Live, presented by HawkAuto.com.
Fiala with the game winner with just over 3 minutes to go in overtime, just a few minutes after Kroll made an amazing toe save on Fiala to keep this game going. The Hawks had a 2-0 lead. Rasmussen scored in the second period. Patrick Kane also tallied his 50th career playoff goal, but Philip Forsberg with two goals in the third period sent this one to overtime. Hawks now 23-15. In overtime in Stanley Cup playoff play under Joel Quenneville. What's up? Welcome to Blackhawks Post Game Live, presented by HawkAuto.com. Hawks on the brink of elimination. When you sum up this game, what will you say about it?
I will say that Nashville looked like the quicker team. Maybe they wanted it a little bit more. I really like the pushback by the Blackhawks. I thought the intensity was certainly there, but when you look at the full, I don't know how many minutes we played, almost 80 minutes. When you look at that full game, it just seemed like there was a little more hunger on the Nashville Predators side.
And I thought the Hawks, for the first part of the game, obviously did a really good job of sustaining pressure, winning their one-on-one puck battles, and really showing that puck battle that we talked about. But then as the Nashville Predators got momentum and got confidence, and then their crowd got into it, I felt like they really took over the hockey game, and then it continued into the overtime.
There was, let's take you through the highlights in this one. No scoring in that first period. A minute into the second, the third line strikes for the Hawks. Richard Panik will keep the play alive. And then Marcus Kruger had himself a hockey game. He'll go five-hole to Dennis Rasmussen, who tallies to make it 1-0 Hawks.
Yeah, Kruger bunts it between his legs. Look at the work here, though, by Panik. The quick cut back, he loses his balance, but he just chops it towards Kruger. And there's that deft little move. Just kind of a wedge between the legs, right to Dennis Rasmussen. He's wide open in front. And a nice backhand, too. It eludes Pekka Rinne. Boy, it had been a while. Over seven periods of shutout hockey for Rinne, but the Blackhawks finally score.
Midway through that period, after Kruger forced to delay a game, Hawks power play, Kane will get the puck just above the right circle, waits. Anisimov screens 50th playoff goal in Kane's career.
Great recognition here by Duncan Keith as he drags this puck to the middle. He pulls Fisher off the boards and creates a lane there for Patrick Kane, who does a great job of eluding his check as well by just pulling that puck in just slightly to get that shot off. Great net front presence by Anisimov. And there you have it. The Blackhawks are up by two.
Third period, you got to have some luck. How about this? 4 minutes in, Arvidsson's shot deflects off the glass behind the net. It caroms right in front. Kroll has no idea where it is, and Philip Forsberg knocks it in to make it a 2-1 hockey game.
Forsberg really makes his play. He's in on the forecheck. Now, they're just trying to see whether or not maybe this puck went off the netting in behind. It didn't. It clearly hit the glass. But as it bounces back, it misses Corey Crawford, and in midair, Forsberg gets to it. Philip Forsberg gets his stick on it as it bounces. Kind of takes a little funny hop, but he gets it midway up the shaft. A lucky goal, but an important goal because it gets Nashville on the board and it gives them tons of momentum. Again from behind, that puck caroms off the end glass. and it's about a foot off the ice when Forsberg makes contact with it.
Speaking of getting the shaft, under 6 minutes, Johansson will get it to Ryan Ellis. His shot is saved by Crawford. Philip Forsberg on the rebound, but Arvidsson made contact as he did a little drive-by with Corey's stick. They reviewed it, and they deemed it no goalie interference. Your thoughts on this one?
A little bit confusing. Watch here. Corey Crawford gets bumped in his head, twists his body, and the shot goes back through the short side on by Forsberg. Corey Crawford unable, in my opinion, to make that save, regardless if he's outside the blue paint or not. That clearly prohibited him from doing his job and making that save. I'm actually shocked at that point that that wasn't reversed.
They called it incidental contact.
Yeah, hard to believe. I mean, that prevented him from doing his job, but go figure.
Time now for our Koalas Family of Dealerships goal of the game. Just over 3 minutes to go in the first overtime. Yorkrock will shoot it in for the Preds. And James Neal gets it back to Kevin Fiala, and Fiala takes it to the paint and scores. 3-2 is your final.
Yeah, unfortunate. Up the ice, the Blackhawks had control of the puck. They turned it over just inside the blue line, and a nice little play between Fiala and Neal. Neal picks it up, spots him down low, and Fiala takes it to the hoop, goes hard to the net, goes to his backhand. Corey Crawford almost makes another miraculous save off of Fiala. Watch the glove hand. Just missed this by about 3 inches. Fiala with a number of good chances. He finally scores. It's the overtime game winner.
Jonathan Toews, just one shot on goal. The captain addressing the media live at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Let's listen in.
I'm so close, and just kind of raised within margin.
Pretty disappointed. Obviously, kind of like where we're at in the series after that game. And, you know they're going to give a push in the third period, and for the most part, I think we checked pretty well. Obviously, I think we're still feeling confident, even though we gave up a tying goal and going to overtime. The chatter, the energy, the talk in the room is positive. We felt like we were just, you know, waiting patiently and working for that one bounce, and I just obviously didn't come soon enough. So it's pretty disappointing to give up 3 games the way we have. But you know, we'll have to take the good from this game and improve upon it and be even better in the next one. So obviously there's still life. We've said this a lot already. We've been here before, you know, in the past, being down 3-0, make it all the way back to game 7 and losing overtime. So it's, you know, we know it's possible. We just gotta, like we're saying going into tonight, we just gotta win the next one. So obviously every game you gotta ratchet it up, you gotta find a way to find a new level, and so we gotta focus on for the next one.
And after the way you guys struggled to score goals, how much of a kind of a relief was it to get that 2-0 lead, and how much of energy did it give you once you got there?
Well, we knew we could find a way to get on the board, and I think in that second period we worked for our chances, we worked for those bounces, and it's nice when you feel like they can start going in, you kind of relax with the puck a little bit, and we started making more plays, whether it was on the power play or 5-on-5, and things were looking good for us a little bit there. So I think if we find ourselves in the lead or with the lead, we obviously can play better and find ways to keep them off the board late in games.
It can be tough to regroup mentally more so than physically.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a good team, and they want it. They're pushing themselves to the limit. But, you know, you have no choice. We got to find a way to put pressure on them. We got to make them realize that, you know, winning that fourth game is the toughest for any team in any series. And, you know, we can be that team to try and frustrate them and put pressure on them, especially in their own building the next game. And, you never know what can happen, so we'll just focus on winning the next one.
You know, the Hawks are supposed to be well rested after having the longer off season, only going 7 games in the first round last year against St. Louis, and you know, for the most part this season, they seemed like a team that was re-energized. While the compete level was here tonight, unlike the first 2 games. There does look to be some, I don't know, fatigue. They just look a step slow.
Yeah, you know, and let's not forget there's another part of this equation, and that's the Nashville Predators. Yeah. They're playing really well right now, and they play with speed. They play tough in their own zone. I think their defense has really been a big part of their offense, and they're clicking on all cylinders. So I agree with you, though. It doesn't look like they've got the same speed they had even partway through this season. But right now, Nashville realized they're in a pretty special situation right now. They've got, you know, Stanley Cup favorites on the ropes, and they don't want to let them off, and they're making the most of their chances.
I would agree. I think that was probably the conversation in that locker room with the Nashville Predators. Having been fortunate on two different bounces to take it to overtime, I thought for the most part that the Blackhawks had outplayed Nashville. And, you know, in that locker room, they were saying that they needed to make a push and that this was their opportunity. They didn't want to let the Hawks back into it. But I was impressed by the way the Blackhawks came out and played all game long. Yes, the Nashville Predators took momentum and really didn't give it back to the Blackhawks after they had scored that second goal. But Corey Crawford stood tall. They were going to have their chances. It just didn't find a way to get it done.
Coming up in just a second, we have Patrick Kane. I got to ask you this question, though. Washington, top seed in the East, now trails Toronto 2-1. Could be down 3-0. We've got Minnesota, who had a strong, you know, was on top of the West for a good portion of the year, down 3-0 against St. Louis. And, of course, the Hawks in an 0-3 hole. What do you make of these top seeds struggling in the first round? Does it have to do with the wild card team, Toronto, and in this case, Nashville, being in a playoff mode the last few weeks of the season to get in?
Not to skirt away from your question, but a point I think we need to make is that the Hawks, in essence, kind of gave the Nashville Predators life by giving them those first two games by not competing. If they had competed like they did tonight, throughout the first three games, they'd be up 2-1, and maybe they lose this game, but they would have won the first two at home. So now they're in a deeper hole. The league has changed. Every team has an opportunity that makes the playoffs to make a long run, and you want to be playing your best hockey. And yes, the Nashville Predators came out strong. The Blackhawks still have an opportunity, and as Jonathan Toews mentioned, the toughest win to get is that fourth victory.
You know, I'll follow up, and that's a very good point about being in playoff mode and really pushing to make it into that wild card spot. I think the other thing, too, is they call it the new season, and it is the postseason. It's a time for redemption, too. And this Nashville Predator team has been bit in the butt by this Chicago Blackhawk team on a couple of other playoff series. So, you know, it's an opportunity for them to prove themselves. Pecorino has never really done well in the playoffs. He's really standing on his head. So I think it's a number of factors. But, you know, you look around the league, there's going to be a lot of upsets in this first round. Blackhawks certainly hope they're not a part of that equation.
Patrick Kane, 9 shots on goal. He did have his 50th Stanley Cup playoff tally. He spoke moments ago.
You know, they kind of took over there in the third. We kind of sat back, and you know, they had way more chances than us in overtime. So it was nice to have a little pushback there, especially after it was tied up.
When you scored and it was 2-0, did you feel like that things were turning and the kind of complexion of the series was going to change?
Yeah, I mean, you put yourself in a good position, so we're happy to be up to nothing, no doubt.
How do you stay positive in the game four?
Well, it's tough right now, but, you know, let this one sting a little bit tonight. Obviously, we have 2 games in between, so get rested. Come back feeling good. Take it one at a time. I know it's cliche and things you have to say, but at the same time, you know, win one game, you know, see what happens after that.
It's been a long time, I know, but what lessons can you take from that Vancouver series when you were down 3-0?
Yeah, same type of thing, you know, one game at a time. I mean, a couple big games there where we played well, and, you know, obviously you get overtime goal. You need some breaks to go your way, no doubt, so we'll need that going forward.
How big was Corey Crawford for you guys tonight overall?
Yeah, he played amazing. Kept us in the game in the third, kept us in the game in overtimes, and in the first period. I think our only good period tonight was the second, and we really pushed the pace up period. It's fun to play that way and see what we could do, so it's probably the standard going forward.
Was having these 2 days off, is this bad timing when you just probably try to get back out there?
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do about it? I think, you know, you can use it to your advantage, so maybe, you know, let this one sink in tonight, obviously. And, you know, use these 2 days to get rested, refueled, and come back with some more energy for game 4.
Probably feeling pretty hollow in the end, but how much closer did you guys play to the way you really wanted to play tonight compared to the first two games?
I think at times, no doubt. I mean, I thought our second period was really, really good. You know, we had pressure. We were getting pucks back. We had zone time. You know, it's fun when you play like that. It's easy on everyone, too. So, like I said, that could be the standard going forward.
What turned things around the third period? What changed?
Well, like I said, I mean, we had a good second period there, and then, you know, you kind of get in that defensive mode, and we were just kind of sitting back, and, you know, I know they had a few chances, but, you know, I mean, first goal, lucky bounce off the stanch, and second goal, you could say, maybe Crow gets interfered with, just a couple bounces that didn't go our way, so it's easy to look and make excuses, but, you know, at the same time, I think you can make your bounces in this game, and that's the... you know, things you want to do going forward. So no excuses. We didn't get the job done.
And the bounces for the Hawks, Johnny Oduya, what, 170-foot shot that went off the stanchion too, and somehow Pecorine got the oar on that one. You got the sense once they got within one goal that we had the live feed with no commercials. The entire commercial break, the Bridgestone Arena was on its feet at a decibel level you couldn't believe. They realized that they were going to have a shot, the kill shot, to put the Hawks in an absolutely difficult position, being down 0-3, and they made the most of it.
Yeah, that one goal, 4:24 into the third period, changed everything. It was a lucky bounce. Forsberg made a real good play on it, but it's 2-1. And as you mentioned, they go to commercial. We're watching. They normally play music down to the Bridgestone Arena between periods, between the TV timeouts there. They didn't play one lick of music. They just let the fans stand and cheer. That's the goal that changed everything. And you see everyone jumping up and down. It got loud in there in a hurry. And all of a sudden, they realized that, hey, guys, we're one goal away from this. Let's put the push on. They did. They tie it. And, yeah, now the Blackhawks have a daunting task. They got to win four straight games.
Yeah, I mean, that's an unlucky play. There's no question about it. And typically, you can erase those things from your memory as a group. You can park those and move on. But the momentum had seemingly switched in favor of the Nashville Predators. And with the crowd, raucous crowd behind them, they got all the momentum and they never relinquished it for the rest of the night.
And we'll get more into this on the other side. We'll hear Joel Quenneville on the goalie interference, no goalie interference goal. We talked about it all season long, and I said a playoff series will be decided by either a bad offsides call or a unclear goalie interference call. And you could say that, you know, if the Hawks win this game, who knows where this series goes. But to now, you know, get the equalizer this way, and it, you know, they end up losing in overtime, obviously, but they have to become more clear with this rule. Yeah. There can't be this ambiguity.
What does incidental mean? I guess the opposite of incidental is deliberate. Was it deliberate? Well, partially deliberate, because he wasn't going for the puck. He was skating right in front of the net, but he clipped the goaltender. So, to me, that's not incidental contact.
No, and yet, we've seen calls where I'm the defenseman and I push you into Corey, which you can't do anything about
and it. Gets waved
and
off.
That gets, but no, sometimes that's called as interference. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to the rule.
And I also think the fact that the puck went over his pad on that side, it's not like it slid on the ice beyond his pad where he couldn't get there anyway. It actually went to an area that he came from as a result of being hit by Arvidsson. It hit his head. You can see the overhead view. I'm confused as to how that isn't, because why wouldn't you accidentally on purpose bump into the goalie every single time you're skating through the crease or outside the crease? It would be advantageous to do so.
We'll get Joel Quenneville's take on that controversial play coming up next. Hawks lose 3-2 in overtime. Down now 3-0 against the Nashville Preds.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day.
David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities.
Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Let's hear from Joel Quenneville after the 3-2 overtime loss. The HawkAuto.com Coach Q press conference from Nashville.
But you guys take the 2-0 lead, and Kane said that you sat back a little too much in the third. Was that a good assessment?
Well, I think we, I think even parts of the first two periods with our puck management tonight wasn't as good as it had to be. Got us in trouble on a couple plays, but I thought all three plays were pretty innocent the way they materialized and turned into goals. We didn't give up many chances over 60 minutes and overtime, but we didn't generate much at the end because we didn't keep the puck or put it in good areas or win enough puck battles. Might have come down to that.
Did you feel that after Rasmussen scored, and then especially when Kane scored, that kind of the complexion of the series might be changing, and all of a sudden you had all the momentum?
Well, it's a long game. It's a lot of work ahead of you. It's a they got a little momentum going when they scored. It was kind of a play that was innocent. They got to break up the bounce, and we're still on a pretty good spot. We got to close it out, and we gave up another funny goal, and here we go again.
On their second goal, what did you see that caused you to use the challenge on their fans there?
Well, he got brushed a couple of times there, I think we, at that time of the game, it was probably one of those where we'll give it a shot.
I know it was a long time ago, but the last time we were down 3-0, you did force a game 7. What do you remember from that, and what can you take from that?
Well, I remember we were playing Vancouver. Boley came back in the series, and Mick was a factor. But that's a long time ago. It's a different group here. We got to find a way to, get a couple days here to regroup and slow it down, and maybe a little bit here to catch our breath to get excited about just trying to win one game and try to get back to Chicago.
Corey was really busy tonight, obviously. What did you think of him, and did you think that this was maybe the best game he played?
Yeah, I thought he was real good. I thought he was quick. He was alert. He moved the puck well. And, they're shooting the puck from a lot of different angles on him as well. He was fine.
Do you think this group can come back from a 3-game deficit?
We're going to have to.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Predators had 94 shot attempts tonight. Your thoughts on what you heard from Joel?
Well, he hit the nail on the head. I think at some point he said puck management wasn't great. And if you track back to each one of their goals, the Blackhawks at some point within 15 seconds before the goal was scored had it on their stick. They turn it over. The other team scores. So that obviously has to be addressed.
And this is a team that's been notorious for being able to capitalize on opportunities. And when they have that 2-goal lead, being able to get that third goal to really push the Nashville Predators out of the game, and not being able to do that kept the game close enough for Nashville to catch their breath and make a push, which they did. And lo and behold, they came back.
They had 15 giveaways. The other thing that stands out, and it was difficult to watch, is Artem Anisimov in the faceoff circle. He won only 12% of his draws. He's on the number one line with the Chicago Blackhawks. And he is incapable of winning a draw, changing it up. That's the other thing. Doesn't try anything different as far as tying up his man, hoping a winger comes in to help. I mean, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, for me, that's a clear indication of your compete level. And really, there's not much thought that needs to go into it. When you're struggling in the faceoff, Dot, and Edzo talked about it, all you're really trying to do is tie up the other guy's stick and look for some help from your wingers and defensemen. And so the fact that they have to chase the puck the entire time with a line that wants the puck the whole, wants to possess the puck and create, made it a real challenge, and probably a challenge for Joel on what to do, because you need him on the ice. You don't want to keep putting out, Jonathan Toews in that situation, but it kind of forced his hand to change things up.
It almost got to the point where you could see his body language. He knew he was going to lose the draw when he got into that faceoff, Todd. And I was a little surprised that Joel didn't try somebody else, but you're right. Who are you going to put in there? You put Johnny in there, it kind of screws up the lines a little bit. Maybe throw Tanner Caro up there for an offensive draw. He wasn't doing great in his draws, but he's doing a little better than Anisimov. That's got to get better in a hurry, too. Can I read this one thing just about
sure.
the incidental contact? I think we got time. In a rebound situation or where a goalkeeper and offensive player are simultaneously attempting to play a loose puck, I don't know if that was the case or not, Whether inside or outside the crease, incidental contact with the goalkeeper will be permitted, and any goal that is scored as a result thereof will be allowed. Now, I don't think both players were trying to play that puck. There's about 20 subheadings to this rule, but that's the letter of the law. If both guys are coming outside the crease to play the puck, they'll allow incidental contact.
Well, you know, he has his back to the play, so he's not playing. He doesn't even know where the puck is.
He doesn't. Yeah, you're right. And it's almost like he's, like you said, accidentally on purpose.
Yeah.
Doing the flyby. Maybe I'll catch his stick. Maybe I'll catch his body. He catches his head.
He catches him a couple times, yeah. Actually, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, let the...
It's a savvy play, almost. I mean, really, mm-hmm. by...
No, I guess if Corey's in the blue paint, they disallow it. But, you know, he's allowed to come out of the blue paint.
I have a real problem with it. I mean, you could run a goaltender over every time and not let him do his job. So I really don't understand it. I think they have to clean that up. There's too much ambiguity within that rule if that is the case. And you're going to end up seeing a goalie get really hurt because it's going to be guys running through there, skating through a drive-by and accidentally on purpose elbowing a goaltender with the hopes that there could be a rebound behind.
And you know what? The Hawks don't do any of it on the other side, which is partly their fault. Like, we talk about them not going harder than that and making like I don't remember a real close play where,
you know what, what Corey should have done is fallen back. When he got hit in the head there, if he had fallen back and was laid out, maybe that's when it would have been called.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear from Corey Crawford here after the tough loss.
That one coming so close and just having that kind of razor thin margin there.
Yeah, that's tough. We played a lot better in this game. Some more chances to, I don't know, we're up 2-0 going into the third, and kind of those ones you kind of have to win. It was definitely tough to take, but nothing's over yet. We haven't played our best hockey. Just got to keep going.
You saw a lot of pucks tonight. Did this game remind you, I mean, you did the same thing in the regular season, you'd make a ton of saves and then win games. Did it remind you of one of those type of games where you just could, we're going to steal it?
I don't know. Felt pretty good, but that was some tough breaks on the goals. And I mean, I think everyone's a little pissed off and a little angry. We should be. But like I said, we haven't played our best hockey yet, so it's time.
How did you feel like play on that first goal? Like, do you even know the puck had landed back in the crease?
I don't know. Game's over.
Did you feel like you were interfered on that second?
I don't know. Game's over. We've been through situations like this before, so it's another. Just another one for us. Bring our best game.
When you make a save like you did on Fiala before the game winner with the left skate, I mean, do you get a feeling like maybe this is our night type of thing? I mean, so close.
I mean, you're not really thinking anything in overtime. Just trying to every next play is the most important one. So, We had some good looks, and the whole game, maybe a couple in overtime. And, we've got more. We definitely have more, and nothing's over yet. So.
Nothing's over yet. That includes Blackhawks postgame live. We'll take a trip around the rest of the Stanley Cup playoff action on this night.
It's sports, it's social, it's viral.
It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show.
In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago.
And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back with our Four Seasons heating, air conditioning, and plumbing. Who's hot, who's not? How about Jaden Schwartz of the Blues? A couple goals and an assist. As St. Louis has a 3-0 lead over the Minnesota Wild. Who's not? Jonas Donskoy. The Edmonton Oilers have a 2-1 series lead over the Sharks. Game 4 tomorrow night. Ducks and Flames. Game 3 from Calgary. Second period. Sam Bennett on the power play. lights the lamp there, a little redirection in front off the skate. Flames grab a 4-1 lead. Ducks would answer, though. It's 4-3 in the third. Shea Theodore throws one on that and beats Brian Elliott. We're tied at 4. We go to overtime. Only 90 seconds into the extra session, Corey Perry from the acute angle goes off the skate of a defenseman and in. Ducks win 5-4. They lead that series 3-0. Overtime everywhere. Capitals and Leafs. Game 3 for the big T.O. Caps were up 2-0 early. Leafs fight back. On our minute left in the second, William Nylander gathers his own rebound, gets the equalizer, and this one's headed to overtime. Leafs on the power play in OT. Tyler Bozak redirects a feed. Past Braden Holtby, the high tip. Leafs win 4-3. They now lead the series 2-1. And the other game went to overtime as well, with Ottawa taking care of Boston 4-3. Holy overtime, Batman. What did you think of tonight's night on the ice? Or should I say last night's?
Yeah, it was last night. That's playoff hockey. You're going to get close games. They're all going to be one-goal games. You're going to get a lot of overtime games. And surprisingly enough, I'd done some homework before this game started. 75% of the teams that had scored the game's first goal in the playoffs, this was the first 20 games, went on to win. Unfortunately, didn't happen for the Blackhawks tonight. But, yeah, a lot of close games.
Apparently, two-goal leads are not safe in the National Hockey League in these playoffs, and that seems to be the case tonight and from games in the past.
Time now for our Liberty Mutual Insurance Player Profile. It is Marcus Kruger. Drew a penalty, forced a penalty. He had a great assist. He was tremendous tonight.
Yeah, he really was. And you talk about compete level, and you have to give Marcus Kruger credit. He's a guy who created a lot. Watch here as he drives the net looking for some action behind him and pays the price, gets his helmet knocked off. That's exactly what you need to do. And he does a nice job here of getting an opportunity. Unfortunately, Mike Fisher blocks this. And look at this deft pass for the first goal to Rasmussen. All created by the great hands, and again, created a nice play here, pressuring the defenseman and creating that opportunity when Ryan Ellis took a penalty there, making that, you know, throwing the puck out of zone for the Blackhawks to go on the power play, which they cashed in on.
Xfinity High Flying Hockey Time. Steve, what do you have?
Well, I thought Patrick Kane had the best game of this series so far by him. He scored the power play goal, also had 9 shots on net. I had a couple of takeaways. They gave him one hit. I had him for 3 hits. Did a real good job finishing his hits. Way to go, Kaner, and my high-flying hockey.
Bizarre stats in the hockey talk.
Definitely.
And I'm going with Marcus Kruger. We talked about compete level. He certainly brought that on this night. An assist on the first goal, on Rasmussen's goal, 3 shots on goal, a block shot as well. Didn't have a great night in the faceoff, but he competed all over the ice.
I'm not going to ask you if they can come back in the series. I'm going to ask you if they can win Thursday night.
I think they can win Thursday night. They have to win Thursday night or season's over.
Yes, I do think they can. I think they'll keep pushing and they'll look for that third goal if they can get there.
Well, that's a wrap on this edition of the Hawks Talk podcast. Can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy.